Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13.
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 reads this way. It says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight. Lord, we do thank you for your mercy and your grace and your goodness to each and every one of us. Lord, may we understand more about what you've given to us in the salvation that you have provided. May we honor and glorify you. May you build the faith that you've given to us and strengthen, Lord, our witness for your honor and glory. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title of the message tonight is simply "Made Nigh by the Blood of Christ." God draws us nearer to himself. And because of that, he's given to us things that he wants to have in our lives. And of course, that's his mercy, his grace. These are the things that God would have for us. But tonight we're going to focus on three things that we want to remember. And I think what is being brought out here. The first thought is, remember the past before salvation. Remember what you didn't have before you were saved. And remember what you did have before you were saved. And then remember the present, at this present moment, right, that you have the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll look at that. And then lastly, we'll remember the work of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit on our behalf. And that's important as we consider. So when we look to the Word of God, you know, ultimately God wants us to be a witness. You believe that? You shall be what? You shall be, when the power is come upon you, you shall be what? Witnesses, right? Now, he did not say you're to be soul winners, and this is an important thought, because then the objective is not to witness, but to win a soul. You see the difference? The objective is to witness to people, whether they accept it or not. If you witness, you're successful. Or if not, we enter into the sin of silence. That means we're afraid to witness because they're going to say no, or they might say no, or whatever it might be, and then we don't witness at all. But you know, it's a blessing to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't have to be forceful. We don't have to be argumentative. God wants us just simply to be a witness of the grace that God has given to us. And we share that. We carry tracts and you invite people. You give them. You know, I ask permission. That's something I just started. I used to just try to put it in their hands. Because I'm not a soul winner, I'm to be a witness for the glory of God. So here's my witness. May I give you this to read when you get a chance? And they would, if they reach out their hands, I would say, this is God's gift of eternal life. I want them to know what I'm giving them. And many people will take it. And I was challenged as I was sitting there next to a person on the airplane. And they took it. They said, thank you. Right, and I thought, I all kinds of things can go through your mind. They're not going to be interested. They don't want it. You're going to bother them. They're busy. They're going here. They're going there. But you know, there was a lady on my way out to visit my mom was sitting there, and I gave it to her, and she took it. She took it. She looked at it. She folded it up. I told her it's God's gift of eternal life, and she said thank you. Put it in her purse, you know, and then went on. We had just landed. So I did wait till we just landed. But anyway, here's the thing. She took it, right? And then you'll be amazed how many people appreciate when you're out eating and you leave a tip and you say, you know, even more important than that, everybody needs, you know, finances to make a living. But even more important than that is the gift of eternal life. May I give you this to take a look at when you get a chance? Oh, certainly. Thank you very much. They'll take it. And it's a wonderful, and you know what? Even if they didn't take it. Now, I had no rejection of one tract, and I must have given out, I'm going to say probably about 7 or 8, maybe 9 tracts the whole time that I was out, you know, at different places. I gave out, maybe I gave a little more. But here's the thing. My last person, he was a fellow probably about maybe 15 years, maybe 20 years older than I was. We were flying back, and he said, I said to him, may I give you this? And I told him, this is God's gift of eternal life. He said, no, I'm a Buddhist, but thank you anyway. I said, well, that's kind of interesting. I think you're the first Buddhist I've run into in quite some time. You know, I didn't know there was a lot of Buddhists out. And he goes, no, I'm from California, maybe that. And we had a little conversation going on. You know, it didn't get too much further than that. But here's the thing. You never know. There were three flight attendants on one flight. I was all the way towards the back, and they were sitting down. We were getting ready to land. So I thought, let me do this before they turn the lights on and you got to put your seatbelts on. And anyway, I approached the one stewardess with a track, and she said, you know what? I've already trusted the Lord as my Savior. I said, well, wonderful. I went to the other one on the other side, and she said, yes, I'll take it. Thank you. Then the fella in the back, he said, no, I don't want one. You know? And I said, well, that's okay. But he said this, but thank you anyway. I said, well, you're quite welcome anyway, right? So here's the thing. We don't have to be aggressive, but you know what? Every one of those attempts was a witness, was it not? The results are not in our hands, are they? Can you and I save anybody? But we are to witness. We are to tell people. And the more we can invite people to read the Word of God and trust, I think we're moving in the right direction. Now, I want you to know, I've been doing this for many years, but it can be sometimes awkward. Can we say that? Maybe uncomfortable. But who are we doing it for anyway? The Lord. And let me ask you this. Did the Lord go through some suffering and some pain and some anguish for our eternal life? Can we go through a little bit of rejection if we get it? Now listen, you know, nobody likes to be rejected, but if we approach people kindly, I think for the most part, if they reject, it will be in kindness also, if we're kind about it. But then if it's not, hey, listen, the Lord went through some things anyway. So just a little bit of a reminder, you know, God wants us to be witnesses of this great grace that he's given to us that has brought us near to him because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's consider this. Let's look at the first thought here in verse 11. Let me back you up. Remember the past before salvation. Look at verse 11. It says, wherefore remember, right? He says, remember, wants us to remember, that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision out of the covenant, by that which is called circumcision in the covenant, in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were what? Without Christ. At that time you did not have eternal life. And what were you? Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Everybody has to be there sometime in life. You're not born saved. You could be brought up in a Christian home being taught the right things. You're not born saved, and you're not brought into salvation unless God brings you there. Everybody has to first be lost before they can be saved. And we want to ask questions. What do you mean you know the Lord as your Savior? What does that even mean? Has there been a conviction? Has God showed you that your sins have condemned you? It doesn't have to be in those words, but it has to be something like that. It can't be, well, because I've just always believed. Because I've just always believed in God. Is that salvation? Absolutely not. It has to be, I was lost. And who found me? Jesus found me, right? I was lost. That means I was condemned. That means my sins have separated me from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the one that brought me around to listening to the gospel and to believing on the Word of God. So remember, we were all there. If not, there's a problem, right? If not, there's something not right in our understanding of the Word of God. So the Bible is telling us here that we were without God in the world, having no hope there in verse 12. So the Lord is saying, remember the past, right? We were without Christ. We had no hope. We were without God in the world. What a lonely place, and we didn't even know it. What a horrible thing. You know, would you ever want to be lost again, if you could? You can't be lost again. But would you ever want to go back to the place where you didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ the Savior? Now, let me share this with you. Ready? Before I got saved, I didn't know I was lost. Before I got saved, I really didn't know there was a problem. Before I got saved, I thought the only problems were the problems that came into my life. Other than that, no problem. But now once I learned that I was lost and condemned, even, listen, I would never want to go back to that place of false hope that everything was okay, that I'll just live life and leave this life. Because if I would have lived like that and never trusted the Lord as my Savior, I would have wound up in hell. And then there would have been a big problem, right? So praise the Lord that God opened up our understanding to see that need that we had, we were without Christ, we had no hope, and we were without God in the world, and God was the one that brought that to our understanding, or we never would have had that. So praise the Lord. Now think about it this way. That is the same situation, that is the same circumstance that everybody that we come in contact with that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ is in. The first leg of my flight, it was a bigger plane, 3 seats on each side. The last one from here to Columbia, 2 seats on each side. That's okay, I don't mind. But here's the thing. I had the window seat, and it was a young lady, a mother, and then her husband sat on the other 3 seats and 2 kids on each side. And she was a reader. She was an avid reader. She was reading this book. And I had gotten a little tired. I was up early, like about 3 a.m, and started my first part of the trip. And you know how they'll come by. I did want a drink. I wanted some soda water. And anyway, I had dozed off. And when I opened up, it couldn't have been too long, I think. Anyway, I opened up my eyes, and she's got a Coke. And she saw I woke up, right? And so she said, "Oh, do you want a soda?" He was behind us, you know, or something like that. I said, "You know, I would like one. I would like one of these LaCroix soda waters or whatever, you know." So she was very kind and got me a soda water. I said, "Well, thank you very much." So, but I'll just tell you how my mind can work. Oh, she's a young woman. She's not going to be interested, you know. But again, we landed, and I gave her a track. And she said, "Thank you." In fact, I said, "Will you read that? I'll just say it differently, a little different each time. When you get a chance," she says, "I certainly will. I will do that." And she put it in her book. And I thought, well, you know, that was a successful witness. But you know, if we're not careful, we can let the devil rob us of what the Lord wants us to do, to give other people the same hope that God has given to us. Now, here's the key. Here's something new that a statistic that I did not understand. They say, statistically speaking, this is coming from people that try to win people to the Lord. It takes 7.2 times, right? Some 6, some, you know, 8, 7, however, but about the average is 7.2 times that people are approached with the Word of God before they come to that place of understanding to receive the Lord. So the first time somebody rejects, maybe that's the first time. Maybe it's the second or the third time. And maybe they'll soften up as people begin to share. Maybe they'll begin to think a little bit more. Well, what is this all about? That we're talking about eternal life. We're talking about what's going to happen forever when we leave this world. So even if we are rejected, did we not still witness? And maybe that was the first time or the second time. It's going to take 7 on average, 7.2, for people to trust the Lord as their Savior. So let us by all means do our part for our Savior, amen, for the glory of our God, that He might do His will through our service to His honor and glory. That's His plan. He wants to use you and I. So the Lord is saying here, remember what we had without the Lord, and point others that they might also have the same understanding that God has given to us. Okay, so this is the past. Let's remember the present. Look at verse 13, and notice what he says here. He says, "But now," right? The first two words, "but now." But we had before, he says, remember, "but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Isn't that good? God has brought us near. Well, what has God brought us near to? Well, he's brought us near to himself in eternal life, has he not? Isn't that something? Listen, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, through salvation has brought you and I and given to you and I direct access to his throne. We are made now nigh to the Lord Jesus Christ by his blood, it says there in verse 13. Notice not only that, but notice what he's given to us. Verse 14, "for he is our" what? Peace. God has given to you and I peace. Do you enjoy that peace? Is it a good peace? Has it made you happy in this peace? So if you have this peace, is it a good thing to share with others? Is it a good thing to encourage others with? Whose peace do we have? God's peace. And God's peace is the best peace, is it not? And so not just for the lost, but how about you can tell when people are dealing with things in life. And sometimes we can't tell that people are dealing with things in life. But would this be a fair assessment? Everybody deals with life. Is that a fair assessment? And we don't always know what's happening in people's lives, but I would venture to guess, can I do that tonight? That more people would love to be encouraged by the peace of God than the troubles of this world. And so, Lord, may you allow me to walk in your peace and to encourage even fellow believers in the peace that you've given to us. So again, he says, we've been made nigh, verse 14, for he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. How? Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that which separated us, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. So what that new man is the Lord's Spirit, is it not? And what did he do? He took the old man and he gave it another birth, didn't he? He changed it. And now this new man can communicate with the Lord's Holy Spirit and follow after the ways of God. So he says this is the work that he's doing, and he's made peace in our lives. He's abolished flesh, this enmity that caused a hindrance, and now he's made this new man that can really enjoy the peace of God. Can it not? The new man wants to enjoy the peace of God. So he says, verse 17, and came and preached peace to you, which were afar off. So he's still talking about that peace, and to them that were nigh. So he's talking to both. He's talking to those who were outside of the covenants of Israel, and now also to those who were in the covenants of Israel. The truth was revealed. So question, could God ever be done with Israel? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Right here tells you he's not forgotten Israel. So be careful. There's this new doctrine, not really new. It's been around that God is done with Israel. That's not the case. He'll never be finished. How long does God hold you and I in his hands? Forever. How long does he hold Israel? Forever. Now granted, not all that are Israel, but he still holds Israel. As a nation, he still holds Israel, and he will bring them unto himself. So we want to be aware of that and respectful of that, and agreement in that as well. Verse 18, for through him we both have what? Access by one Spirit unto who? Amen. Unto the Father. Unto the Father. So listen, make big of the Holy Spirit. He's the revelator. He was the one that convicted us and revealed to us that we needed Christ in the first place. Why would we ever say, oh, I don't want the Holy Spirit. I don't want to make big of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the power of God, is it not? It is the dunamos power. It's what he empowered after that the Holy Spirit would come upon you. You receive power. And so what was that power? That we would be witnesses of the grace of God in our own personal lives. Of course, God wants us to give a verbal witness, but we want also a physical witness too as well, right? The peace of God, the love of God. Didn't the Lord say, this is how people are going to know that you're my disciples indeed, by the love that you have one toward another. And so if we really love, what is the love of God? When he gives you his love, is it something that's good and kind and gentle and long-suffering and wanting to build you up? Or is it something that is undermined, dastardly, and to destroy? No, of course not. So we don't want to be any of those things. We want to be the things that are lovely and kind and by the grace of God to build one another up. So when we look at that's the witness of the Lord. And if it's not right, we need to acknowledge it before the Lord. Lord, I'm not right. If I am not walking in that kind of love and that kind of gentleness, I have to acknowledge before the Lord, because if I don't bring it before the Lord and say, there's a problem, then I think I'm okay and I keep walking down that path. And if I keep walking down that path and it's not the Lord's path, I'm going to be off track, aren't I? So it's important. Lord, does the Lord want us to be, when we say a witness, is that to say something to somebody else when we're witnessing? So if we are witnessing to somebody else, are we influencing them?
Yeah, absolutely.
Does God want us to be secret witnesses?
No.
Silent witnesses?
No.
Why? Because that influences who? Nobody. Does God intend for our witness to influence other people?
Amen.
How often? All the time. So our witness has to be effective in helping other people. So God does not, listen, if I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm never going to tell anybody anything about the Lord Jesus Christ, but I'm just going to live a good life. Is that a witness? No, God doesn't want us to be a quiet witness. He wants us to speak. He says, listen, has God called you and I to witness?
Yes.
You shall be witnesses, right? Okay, is that a good thing to do?
Yes.
Is it the commandment of the Lord?
Yes.
Do we know it's a commandment of the Lord?
Yes.
And so if we don't do it, are we obeying or disobeying the Lord?
Disobeying.
We're disobeying the Lord. Now listen, please, I want you to understand this. I am not by any means trying to make anybody feel guilty into witnessing. That's not the objective. But the objective is to be aware that God has called us to tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to what extent you do it, that's between you and the Lord. But I would dare say it would be good to be in the habit of doing it often, right? As God gives us opportunity to tell the other people about the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we would be a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and a faithful witness. Is the Lord our example?
Yes.
How often did the Lord witness? He's our witness. Was he quiet about it? No. He met people where they were at, didn't he? He met people where they were at. I think you and I should meet people where they're at and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ for the glory of God and for the salvation of their souls. Does God work with his word? And that's exactly what we want to work with, right? The word of God. Please, listen, I want to say this again. I don't ever want to make anybody feel guilty into doing this. It ought to be a work of love for the Lord. It ought to be that, you know, because God loved me, I want to be faithful. And that's something, there's no way I will ever know what anybody does in their witness. You won't ever know what kind of witness I do, right? I will never know. And that's okay. It's not my business, right? It's not anybody's business. It's just between us and the Lord. And so that's who we want to do business with. Lord, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, everybody in this room wants to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Amen.
I believe that, right? And so that's our service to the Lord. Lord, make me faithful. Show me what I need to be so that I might be found faithful in your sight. Because that's who we'll stand before ultimately, right? Before the Lord. So it's not a guilt thing by any stretch of the imagination. It's just being aware of what God has called us to do and to be mindful of and to be reminded of where we stand in the present time in our relationship with the Lord, of all the things that God has given to us and has given to us this new man. All right, last thought here tonight. Remember the work of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit on our behalf. Notice this, verse 19. Now therefore, because of where we're at now in the Lord Jesus Christ, because we remember what happened before we were saved and what we were and where we were at in our relationship with the Lord, and now we are reminded of where we're at in the present time in our salvation, now we want to remember the Lord's work and the work of the Holy Spirit. He says, now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. Isn't that great? We are fellow citizens with the saints. And here's the good news. Ready? Well, let me ask it like this. Will that ever change?
No.
It will never change. Why not? Why won't that change? Grace of God.
Amen.
God sealed us, right? So many things we could say, can't we? God holds us in his hands, never lets us go. You could tell me all kinds of truths that God has given to us in his word, that he holds us steadfast.
Amen.
And no man can take him out. Does that make you happy?
Amen.
It makes me happy. And I'm glad to rejoice in that. And you know, I dare say this. It makes God happy that we're happy.
Right.
That he's made us happy. Amen? You believe that? I believe that when you and I can rejoice and be happy in Jesus, I think it makes the Lord happy. Don't you? I think he likes to see us rejoicing in what he's given to us. So he says, now therefore ye are no more, verse 19, strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God. I like to be of the household of God. How about you?
Amen.
Well, if you're saved, you're of the household of God. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? It's like, you know, I've not lived at home, my goodness, 40 plus years. I've not lived in my parents' home. But do you know, when I walk in my parents' home, everything is mine, right? Everything, they withhold nothing, right? They say, you know, help, make yourself, what do they say? Make yourself at home. Make yourself at home. And they really mean it, amen? They really mean it, and that's a wonderful thing. And what a blessing it is to think about. God says, you are home with me.
Amen.
And he wants us to be at home with him. Isn't that great?
Yes.
And as long as our relationship is in the place of honoring the Lord by his mercy and grace, we're in a great place. And you know, it's even good because this world does not give us that kind of security, does it?
No.
This world has a lot of ups and downs.
Right.
But with the Lord, it's all up. With the Lord, it's always up. How long will God love us for? That's a long time. God will love us forever, won't he? Forever. That's a long time. Will he ever stop loving us? Isn't that great? What did we do to deserve that? You and I both know the answer. Nothing. It was because he loved us and gave us his mercy. Isn't that great? Unconditionally given to you and I. Not because of anything we've done, but because of who he is. Will God keep us in that love? Yeah. And so, you know what? Would God like for all of his people to walk in that love? He does. And so, if people need encouragement, may you and I, by the grace of God, encourage other fellow believers in that love. I need help sometimes in that love. How about you? Sometimes the world weighs me down. Sometimes the world weighs me down. And I can lose sight. I've not lost the love of God. We don't lose the love of God, but I've lost sight of it because of the weight of the world, right? Sometimes we can weigh ourselves down, right? But as a child of God, right, we want to walk in that love, and we want to encourage other people in that love as well. Look at verse 20. Let's put 19 and 20 together. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Did you get that? That's why whenever you hear the apostles in the letters, they're saying it's the same grace, guys. We've got the same grace. We've got the same love. We've got the same Savior. It's a different position in the sense of they're apostles and we are not apostles. I'll give you that. But did you notice here, verse 20, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. What is that foundation? Jesus Christ. That's the foundation. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Isn't that great?
Yes.
That's where you and I are at. And will that ever change? No, it won't ever change. In whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. That's us. A holy temple unto the Lord. In whom ye also are builded together, Listen to this. For an habitation of God, how? Did you see it's capitalized, right? That's the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit important in God's plan in mind? Absolutely. May it be important to us. May we never grow weary of our triune God. They are all important, are they not? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're three equal parts of one another. They are all equally as important to us, because without the Holy Spirit, there's no conviction. Without the Son of God, there's no sacrifice. Without God the Father, you know, there's no plan for us. And by the way, listen, we can't even separate them that way either, because they're all part of creation. They're all part of the plan, because they're all one. Amen? Because they're all one. May we in our hearts and minds keep them that way and realize that we need all of them in a very important and critical way. So tonight, God just simply reminds us, remember the past before salvation. Remember the present, what you have because of salvation. And remember the work that Christ is doing on our behalf and in conjunction with the Holy Spirit and God the Father and God the Son. Let's put them all there and say, God, that we might walk in your love, in your mercy, in your grace, to enjoy the salvation that you've given to us and to be the light that you've called us to be. Amen? Would you stand with me? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your mercy and grace that you've given to us. May we not ever take that lightly. May you burn that deep within our hearts and minds, and may we walk in your truths, Lord, on a daily basis and grow in your mercy and grace as you've called us to by your power. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.